Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, come on air. And welcome to the Consciousness Shift. This evening, I'm Gwendolyn Berry down in South Florida. This evening, we have Ms. Imani White as our guest. Imani was with us, oh my goodness, for the Gulf Fire Ceremony. How long ago was that, Imani? That was last year during...
April 20th. It was the anniversary, the two-year anniversary.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Been a while. Go ahead, hon. And so to introduce you all to Imani and her beautiful music, I'm going to play some of her handpan music here for you. This is a composition called Air, correct, Imani?
Yes, it is. And I collaborated with Jason Armstrong Baker on this track and Khalil Alakel.
All right. Well, we'll just get it. I'll get it going. I'll play it right now.
Place. I give thanks for our ancestors, both physical and spiritual. I give thanks for the chosen of the future generations, the ones yet to be. Give thanks for the opportunity to be here together with you in the middle of our ancestors and our future generations. Give thanks for the views I see, for the views we see, and the views are becoming, giving thanks for the opportunity for our children to grow in a way of unlimited possibility. As we have realized the divine potential within ourselves, we co-create a field of possibility for the children. We co-create a field of possibility for the earth herself, for ourselves, for the wellness of all life. My name is Imani. Welcome all of our allies and ancestors, those in the highest good to come forward and to support this planetary awakening with gentle, true, inner visions. And people learn their internal navigation so that they can listen to you, Creator, Spirit, Allah, God, that universal intelligence that resides in all. Thank you.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
I used to surf. It reminds me of really wonderful rides, very soft, gentle rides that just make you feel good.
Whoa. Yeah.
I forgot about that little SoundCloud trick. Oh, whoa. Oh, Miss Imani, thank you for being with us tonight. That was a beautiful introduction, beautiful prayer. You are a wonderful musician and ceremonialist, and I wish you would tell us what you've been doing for the last year. And you're in Arizona right now, yes?
I am. I came to Arizona in February for a writing sabbatical to work on, basically it's kind of the overview and the codification, if you will, of my work with the last 25 years of shamanic study and practice and sacred fire ceremony work with the community that I've been connected with for more than 20 years. And then my work with the ceremonial elders in the last many years. So I've clearly been given a gift by the Creator, and I clearly have some things to share. So my guidance was to come here and really work towards that. And the track that we shared was the first track of my most recent recording project that was completed soon after I came here in February. It was mastered by my friend Thaddeus Moore, who lives out in Oregon. And that project is really guided towards the altar. And that's very reflective of my life, because I've really been taking some time to be in my inner realm and being in a place of listening to what's next. Our prayer with Soulfire for the Gulf was clearly a huge prayer, and I really felt like I was still integrating that well into the new year of 2013. So the dedication that myself and the crew of people that supported that prayer brought forward was really one of the most impressive experiences and collaboration to date. And I still feel those prayers ripple out, and still I have a little bit of ash left from that fire that I share in the other ceremonial fires that I support. And so it's really been about, I turned 53 just recently, and it's really been about moving into this 53rd year of painting the picture of this amazing, blessed life that I've led, and what I've learned about shamanic community work, about music, about ceremony for people who are not necessarily raised up in ceremony, but those of us who really feel a call to do something good with our spiritual practice. And so that I've been in a lot of meditation around how I can really share what I have learned over the last 25 years of doing that. And part of it is through this musical project, and part of it is through the book project that's in process.
Well, that's wonderful. And so this is how you're putting the shamanic lessons that you've learned out to the rest of the community and the world in general, yes?
Yes. And how to express it in a way where it's both subtle and direct. One of the teachings that I've received is that you begin and end everything with a prayer. And so this project has definitely begun with a prayer, as in the track that we just listened to. And it ends with a prayer, which is the track that we'll listen to at the end of the show. And when I've learned that when we do that we can pretty much hold anything that we are given to hold and navigate our way through it. It doesn't necessarily mean that we get through things fast, but if we take our time to sit listen to music or sit at, you know, our altar and meditate or walk in the woods or just take that quiet reflection time, then we often learn a lot about our lives. And this recording project is very specifically about creating a place that we can drop into to be in that place of gratitude. And each of the tracks, you know, have an invitation for whoever's listening to it to participate in it, you know, actively or passively. And that I'm really proud of this project in that I know that you're, you know, if you're in meditation, that this is a good support. If you want to just rest, this is a good support. And it's a balance to my first project, which is much more expressive in the Shakti or, you know, the djembe world. There's a lot of djembe and dunu family instruments, whereas this second recording project is more handpan based, pong and halo.
Can you tell me about, when we were speaking before the show, you were talking about the community that you're working with. Can you tell me more, tell my listeners too, about more about what your community is like and what you all do and how supportive it has been of you and you are of it? Just give us a general.
Sure. Well, how it all started for me was about 25 years ago, I heard somebody play the drum, and it completely changed my life. And soon after hearing the drum, I was living in Asheville, North Carolina at the time. Mm-hmm. I learned that Babatunde Olatunji was coming to Asheville, and I studied with him in those first few times that he came to Asheville and learned that I have a huge passion for the drum. And so I studied with teachers in Nashville, Tennessee for a couple of years and met with some friends in Asheville who were starting to make drums and learned how to make drums. And then that led us into another friendship with a person who named Jimmy Two Feathers and Morlin Two Feathers, who lived in Massachusetts and were also drummers and community supporters, community activists, and they had a project called Earth Drum Council. So this was in the early 90s that we met and joined forces, and that's where my experience with the Sacred All Night Fire Circle community developed in the Northeast through Earth Drum Council and the Rites of Spring Gathering. And so from there, we have members all over the world, and we have some friends in Hawaii. And my friend Michael Wall brought a hong to a fire circle and shared it with us in the middle of the night. So what we do at these fire circles is we tend to shift our sleep patterns so that we can light the fire at midnight and drum and dance and sing and pray until the dawn. And so at about 3 o'clock in the morning, my friend Michael Wall brought out a hong, and this was about, I don't know, 13, 14 years ago. And it was the instruments were very new at that point and completely blew my mind. And, you know, at this point I had been a drummer for a good 10, 12 years. And I was a djembe player, which is that's a West African instrument, and tends to be a very fierce instrument, if you will. And then I met this hong, which is a very, very soft and feminine instrument. And
is it possible for you to describe the difference between the two? Physical description, so people will know, they'll see, oh, in their mind's eye, they'll go, oh, I know what she's talking about.
So in your mind's eye, the djembe would look like a goblet. It has a goat skin or an antelope skin on it, and it has ropes that wrap around the bowl of the goblet. And the ropes are the way the instrument is tuned. And it has a sound that would be like, bah, bah, do, 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 bah, bah, something like that. As much as a voice can, you know, sing
yeah.
that song. And then the hong and the halo, the hand pans, they look like UFOs.
Right.
The classic, you know, image of a UFO is what the hand pan looks like. And so they have been called all, you know, they're just amazing instruments. And the sound of those instruments are, that I can't really do justice with my voice, but it sounds somewhere between a harp. Yeah, the closest sound that I have is a harp, but it's made out of steel and looks like a UFO.
It's what we introduced you with, that sound. It's a sound that really, for me, takes you to another place.
Yes. I'm 99.9% of the time when I play the handpan in an environment where someone has not heard it, or the whole community has not heard it, there are many people saying, what is that instrument and where did it come from? It's how can I get one of those instruments? And they're very, to make these instruments takes a lot of care and attention, a lot of time, and there are only 10,000 of them in the world. Less than 10,000 of them in the world, actually. So,
wow. Did not know
to
that.
To be blessed to walk with both a hong and a halo, I feel, you know, it's definitely the instrument that guides my path now. The djembe is certainly a solid friend and will always be in my life, but I feel really called to the sound and the energy of the handpan, because it really is about unifying people.
Well, you can feel that the vibration, the sound, the tone, the quality, the vibration of the instrument is soothing and healing. I would love to ask you, I know that you go probably to many different ceremonies. Do you find that using the handpan that you can blend into just about any musical impromptu drumming or anything? Is it work?
Well, it works with musicians who are willing to really listen to the interplay of the sounds, because the handpans are, they don't really have a loud voice. So a djembe, I could go into any drum circle anywhere and just, you know, weave myself right in and have a conversation with my sisters and my brothers.
Right.
Whereas with the handpan, that's going to be more, you know, one or two hand drums and voices or other singing steel instruments or other handpans, cello. And it really comes to the sensitivity of listening to the blend of the voices, because it's easy for the handpan to, if the volume is too loud, the handpan will definitely get quiet. You know, it won't be heard.
Caught, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And
go ahead.
The collaborations that I've been working with recently with some of my friends in Asheville, North Carolina, that are handpan players, has been really beautiful. And you know, this instrument is a new instrument, and there's some calling within the community and within some of the hearts of my collaborators and myself to help really honor the roots of this instrument and codify the music, if you will. You know, it's about creating a container where there history and the herstory and the beauty and the exquisiteness of this instrument can really be held by those people who have been making the instrument and playing the instrument since it began, and really dedicating their lives to it, if you will. So I'm very excited to you know, begin this new level of musical collaboration and expression and experience. I really feel that this instrument, the handpan, has the capacity to lighten people's hearts. And what I know about my own ceremonial work, Vision Quest work, and guidance from some elders that I've worked with is that this instrument does hold a role in the consciousness shift. It does hold a role within helping humanity to know how to be at peace, how to be nurtured by sound. And I really feel that, you know, every once in a while, some great idea comes along that can really influence a lot of people. And the handpan, there's sound sculptures, the hong, the bells, all of the different makers of these instruments around the world, yes, they're coming forward. They're really tending to what I see as a musical instrument that is here to help the people.
It's a beautiful sound. Now, can I play this video that you sent me?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
This is a collaboration between Peter Levitov and Maxime Leroy, and they are friends of mine. Maxime is from France, and they are both in Asheville, North Carolina, right now. And they recently released an album, and this is they have a YouTube video, and this is what we're going to share.
Okay, I'm going to play it. Thank you. was really beautiful. Hand pans are. Can you tell me, Amani, how are they made? I mean, they look like you say, like a UFO. Still, they look like it would take. You know, I've seen many steel drums, if you will, like here in the island areas, especially growing up. But how would you make such an instrument that has so many beautiful tones to it?
There's a lot of complexity therein. You know, it's about the instrument originated in Switzerland with pan art and people who make a hong, and there are, you know, within reason, there are different processes that each of the makers make their instruments with, but the basic the easiest way to describe it is that, you know, it's shaped into the dome-like shape, and then the individual tone fields are brought forward. But, you know, that sounds very easy and very simple, and it really is. It's a very time-consuming instrument to make, and some of the makers work with robotics, and some of the makers work most, you know, just by hand. So That's a very big question with a lot of complexities, but I think that that's the easiest way to answer it.
And you were saying at the very beginning of the show that there's only 10,000 of them out there. Where would anybody find a hand pan, and how would they, who teaches, or is it a community thing? Tell me about the path with it.
Well, the path of the instrument is that they are very hard to receive because there are so few of them. And there's a maker in the United States, Pantheon Steel, and the way they do it is that they hold a lottery for placement to purchase one of their instruments, because they know how many they can make. They can only make about 100 a year. And so they have done an amazing job in bringing forward all different ways that you can participate in the lottery. And it's efficient for them as a business, and it's meeting the community where the different members in the community are. And so I personally have such gratitude and appreciation for that approach. Other makers have different approaches where you write a letter of introduction. These instruments are somehow all linked through relationships. You know, it's because there are so few of them being made, it is about forming a relationship.
So it's word of mouth. It's knowing a specific community and being in touch that way and reaching for it from that space.
Right, right. There are a few people who are have presented some teaching videos, call and folk is one of those people. I know that there are more that are in the works, and there are people who perform all around the world. If you do a Google search on Hong or Hand Pan or Halo, you'll find lots of information. And you know, the best advice that I can give to anyone who is seeking to receive one of these instruments is to form relationship with the people who are in that community. And if you reach out to myself or other people or other musicians, then you will eventually get yourself woven into that community. I feel like for me it's a spiritual. I sit behind the hong and the halo. It leads me, and so. For people who have a spiritual perspective, you know, just make the way open for that instrument to come to you through beautiful synchronicity.
Gotcha.
That's the way it happens. That's the way it happens. It's magic. It's not, I mean, it's, you know, there's only so far that we can all go with the logical brain. And, you know, these instruments are made with a lot of intention and commitment. It's these guys, I don't know of any women who are making hand pounds, but these guys,
yeah.
You know, they're pounding steel for us to be able to make these beautiful tones. It's quite a feat of, you know, physical, intellectual, sonic, acoustics, understanding the way metal works. It's been a beautiful thing to witness the development of these instruments over the last 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
it really is, like the Stradivarius, you know, it's a violin, but it's a special violin. It's like, you know, there aren't any other, I mean, the steel pans are similar, but they're a completely different family, completely different sounds. One of the things that was exciting at the Hand Pangea gathering in North Carolina was that Colin Folk brought forward a steel pan that he had worked on that had the hand pan tuning. And so there's an interesting, you know, these are people who are thinking outside of the box and really working with tonal frequencies and steel.
Wow. So how do you tune these just once and that's it, or what is the care and how do you care for them?
How I care for my instruments is that I work with Kyle Cox, and he tunes my instruments. And, you know, every instrument changes over time. And so there are some philosophies that say that the sound structures of the hand and the hong do not get tuned. And there are other places in the community where the instruments get tuned. But from a steel pan perspective, those instruments get tuned once a year, twice a year. And again, it's about relationship within the community of knowing who has the capacity to tune these instruments. Because, you know, it's with a hammer.
That's how you do it, with a hammer? My goodness.
Yeah, but I don't do it with a hammer. I put it into the hands of the professionals, and that's certainly not me.
I would understand that, but it's interesting to know, you know. Okay, so you have to actually, shift the metal to tune.
Correct.
Wow, it's a tuning. I get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And steel is a material that sometimes you can only tune it part way, and then you need to let it settle in, and then it gets tuned the rest of the way. It's fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating how the intricacies and the subtleties of steel and how you hold a hammer and how you strike the metal can do such different things. And this is an instrument that's been developing over the last 15 years, and I appreciate the communication within this community, the sharing of knowledge, both from as a player and as a woman who walks as a ceremonialist, who is my path, my work is my spiritual work, and how I bring that forward into the world. And then there are people who are professional musicians that are classically trained and found the handpan. And then there are people who just have a life that is, you know, they're in business or they're a mom, or, and they're players too. So it's this instrument that has just a wide variety of people because of the sonic capacities touches people across all kinds of what would normally be boundaries, if you will.
I hear you. You know, it strikes me that you really have to trust the person who's going to tune your instrument.
Right. Well, I mean, it's true. It's true. And again, that comes down to relationship. And, you know, it's like, there are not a lot of people that are available that actually have any, there's not a lot of people on the planet who can tune the instruments. So,
right.
You know, looking to the makers of these instruments is the appropriate, in my life, is the appropriate way to go.
So can you tell me, what is the upcoming ceremonial work that you'll be doing with the handpan and the work that you're going to do with your community? I know you're creating this music right now and making a CD, yes?
Yes, these tracks will be released on CD. They'll also be released digitally. Ceremony-wise, I am returning to my long-term community of the Sacred All Night Sacred Fire Circle community. We are gathering the first weekend in August, just outside of Portland, Oregon, for a gathering called Illuminations that our friend and peer Johnny Twork and Peak Production Experiences is producing. So we get to all come together for 4 days of fire circle work. And like I was saying earlier, we rest in the afternoon and light the ceremonial fire at about midnight, and we are with the fire until the coming of the dawn, when the fire in the sky rises. And so I know that there will be a lot of handpans there. Within the fire circle community, there's a handful of us that play. And that will also include instruments like the djembe and the dumbek and the frame drums and the voices. And just it's a beautiful collaboration of art and spirit.
How can people, for folks who wish to find you and to participate or know, where can they find your information, where it's going to be, and where they can find this wonderful music? Can you give us some direction here before I play your other clip? I'd love to play your first. It's beautiful, too.
Thank you. Facebook is the easiest. I'm Imani White on Facebook. We also have a Soul Fire Circles page, and I do have a website with my email address, and that would be msimani.com.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah.
Imani, you make beautiful music. You put wonderful energy to heal the mother out there. It's a pleasure to work with you and to have you here. I would love to play. We've got about 8 minutes of show left, and I would love to play your other SoundCloud piece, Earth One.
Great. Yeah. Well, this is a sound that you would, if you would just take a moment and imagine us all gathered in the evening, and there's a fire and it's lit in the center and there's beautiful banners around and sweet smelling incense and people coming together and dreaming about possibility. This is a song that you might hear in that environment.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Imani, thank you so much for being with me tonight. I really, really love having you on. I hope you'll come back again and bring us some more beautiful music to listen to.
It'd be my pleasure. Thank you so much, Gwen.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, this is Ms. Imani White. You can find her on SoundCloud, by the way. and listen to some of this beautiful music there. And this is called Earth One.
Oh, think it over. What would you do? Knew you could heal her mother. Oh, think it over. Would you whisper some prayers? Blessing for the waters. Oh, think it over. Would you gather with your friends, sisters, and your brothers? Oh, think it over. Can you find some time, sit with grandmother, oh, think it over, will you trust in your heart, here to help each other, oh, think it over.
Your mind be clear and your heart be strong when you circle the fire all night long. May our hearts be clear and our minds be strong. We enter the circle to tend our soul fire.
This evening. Thank you, Omani, for being with us. What beautiful music.
It's truly my pleasure. Thank you so much, Gwen. I'll see you again soon.
All right. Thank you to all our listeners. We'll be back with Nicole Tomasini next week. Everybody stay safe out there and love your mother, Mother Earth.
It's
okay.
8 o'clock.
We done.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Imani. Really, the music is very beautiful, and it's just what I needed. It really, really was.
Yay! I'm glad. I'm glad.
I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Okay. Take good care. Have a beautiful evening.
You too.
Bye.
Good night.